Last evening, my wife and I took a walk around the lake at the park there in town, and as we were walking around the lake, the sun was setting, and as it was setting, you could see it casting a pink hue over the clouds that were building up in the east. And just what a beautiful setting that it was as we were walking around the lake. And as the sun went down over under the horizon and it got dark, we noticed and looked over, and I commented on the faintest little sliver of a moon that had shown up. And I made the comment and thought back and reflected. Back in Leviticus 23, we don't need to turn there, we've turned there many times, that talks about the first day of the seventh month, and that's what we're here observing today, the Feast of Trumpets. And that was just a beautiful thing to reflect on that as we walked around the lake and welcomed in the Feast of Trumpets. Well, from time to time, people come up with different questions that they have, or different ideas that they have to promote teachings that might be different than what we teach. Some of these ideas get recycled through the years over and over again, and we see them come up from time to time. And as we observe today the Feast of Trumpets, we realize that the Bible talks about many days that are observed and celebrated, and we're here keeping one of them today. Well, one question that consistently comes up, and that has to do with the new moons. And today is a new moon. We could see the little sliver last night. And the question is, should we as Christians be observing all of the days in the Bible as holy? Should we be observing the monthly new moons? The Bible mentions the new moons along with the holy days and the Sabbaths. And what are these references to new moons? Should Christians be observing them today? Well, today we're going to look and see what the new moons are and see if we ought to be observing them. Let's stop for a moment and think about the definition of a new moon. Well, what is a new moon? I found it interesting on my calendar, and when I looked on it, it had the new moon listed as 2 days ago. When we go through and look at the commentaries and look at the discussion on the new moon, there are different ways of calculating when that is. Several different ways. And we don't have time to go through, and it could take several sermons to go through to talk about all of the different variances in the calendars and all the different ways of calculating the new moons. But what I would like to do is I would like to point out that the new moons in ancient Israel were calculated, and the calendar was calculated along with the new moons by the Levitical priesthood. And I think that's an important point to remember. For we see it was their responsibility to compute the beginning of the months and to make it known to all of the Israelites when that was. This declaration of the new moons was an important part of Israel, an important part of being able to calculate when the holy days were, such as today, the Feast of Trumpets. Let's turn over to a scripture in the book of Romans, and we'll clearly see that. Romans chapter 3. This is just one place that discusses the responsibility of calculating the calendar and the new moons. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of the circumcision? Verse 2, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. And we notice in other places in the Leviticus, we see the authority and the responsibility of declaring the dates to proclaim the festivals were given to the Levites. Well, let's take a moment and turn over to the book of Numbers, and let's see if we can see some instructions concerning the new moons. And they're mentioned in numerous places. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 10. Let's start reading in verse 1 concerning the new moons. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself, for you shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling of the assembly, for directing the movement of the camp. And we won't take time to go through the chapter, but it goes through and describes and talks about different times that these trumpets would be used. They'll be used for several different reasons. But let's drop down to verse 9 here. one of the reasons, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and here we are today on the Feast of Trumpets, and at the beginning of your months, the new moons, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before God. I am the Lord your God. Now, we were able to hear our pastor get up here and attempt to blow on an animal horn. It wasn't a silver trumpet, but we saw an attempt at him blowing on that. But we see the trumpets had a very meaningful purpose in the children at the time, the children of Israel. They were to call an alarm. They were to tell them when they were going to war. They were to tell the camp when they were to move or when to assemble. They were for feast days. They were for happy times. They were for announcements. So they had very important place in the children of Israel at that time. Well, what is the purpose of the new moons and the new moon celebrations? Well, they are a marker of time. They are a marker of the months. A couple of weeks ago, as we were out walking once again, and I looked over as the sun had set, and just over the horizon, here comes this beautiful, huge full moon. And the first thought that came to my mind was, you know what? There's 1 month until the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's 2 weeks until the Feast of Trumpets. So my mind automatically went to marking of time. And this was something that they could use back at that time also. They could look up. They could see the new moon. They could see the full moon. They knew what month it was. They heard the announcement by the priest, by the blowing of the trumpet. And that was their calendar. They didn't look on their wall and see a calendar. Well, it's whatever month and whatever day. They had the new moons to tell them, a marking of time. Clark's commentary tells us that the months of the Hebrews were lunar months, and they reckoned from new moon to new moon. And as their other feasts, particularly the Passover, were reckoned according to this, they were very scrupulous in observing the first appearance of each new moon. On these new moons, they offered sacrifices and had a feast. Unger's Bible Dictionary under festivals tells us that the ordinary new moons, or the monthly new moons, all except the seventh month, what we're doing here today, were raised out of the rank of ordinary days, but not to the rank of festivals. As the festivals, according to Mosaic law, were always to be celebrated on the same day of the month, it was necessary to commence the to fix the commencement of the month, it goes on to say, which was determined by the appearance of the new moon. It is evident from the writings of the prophets and from other historical documents that the new moon was an important national festival. Well, in the book of Genesis, and we don't need to turn there, but God tells us the purpose of the celestial bodies that were given to us. And they were given to us, one reason was to tell time. Genesis 1:14 tells us, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So we see that the new moons are for telling us time or for marking time. The new moon was a vital part of life, marking and keeping track of time. Feast days and ceremonies were all geared to the new moon. They didn't have calendars. Rarely does a day go by that we don't reference what our calendar would be, whether it's September or October or January or whatever month or whatever day. The same thing with them. But they reckoned with the new moon. So it was a marking of time. Well, let's stop and take a look at some examples in the Bible of the new moons. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And there are several examples throughout the Old Testament talking about the new moons, and we'll see if we can't pick up on some themes here as we go through. 1 Samuel chapter 20, let's read in verse 5. And David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening." And some use this passage, or some use this example, to say that this was a celebration and we should be doing the same thing. Let's drop down to verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty." Now, a lot of people have the conversation in reference to this verse, and they believe that, well, the new moons cannot be calculated. This clearly tells us that it can be, because they knew that the new moons would be tomorrow. And here they're clearly stating that tomorrow is the new moon. So it is calculated and was back then. There are some that believe that you have to actually see the first sliver of the new moon, as we did last night. And that's not necessarily true. They can be calculated, and we do see examples of that as we go through there. This tells us that the calculation of the new moons were common and known. We see this as an indication that not only the new moons can be calculated, but the argument over the observing of the first sliver, it's a non-argument. When we think about the curvature of the earth and the days and the mountains and the bad weather, we can calculate the new moons. We don't have to post out and watch for that first sliver to know when the Feast of Trumpets is. I'm reminded of a family in our neighborhood when I read this verse. And they're not particularly religious, but one time a month, they get together, their extended family, on that time of month, at that day, and they all have a family meal together. And that's something that they do every month. Now, in this case here, we see David and Jonathan talking about this meal, and he's going to be missed at this meal on the new moon. Could this be what that was talking about? Just a family meal. We see this maybe as a special meal, but we don't see a commandment or any spiritual guidelines to observe this meal. This could be just a family meal. Hastings Bible Dictionary puts it this way in reference to this verse. As the manner in which new moon was observed, there were features besides the sacrifices. And we read earlier that there were sacrifices. It goes on to say there was no solemn convocation on the new moon. David evidently refers to a family feast on the new moon, but it is not clear that the king had a special feast on that day. It goes on to say that there is no indication in this scripture that this was a nationwide festival. It could have been just a family feast, as my neighbors do once a month. And as Hastings points out, this could have been just a family feast, and David was expected to attend. Well, let's move on through the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles, and we'll get some more background on what we can learn about the new moons. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and we'll pick up on a theme and learn a little bit more about the new moons here. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, let's read in verse 4. "Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him the sweet incense, for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel." We want to pick up on a couple things as we read this here. We see an order of frequency, or we see different categories of days. We see new moons, we see Sabbaths, we see festivals. And if we look at the context, we also see sacrifices, worship at the temple. And as we go through, and as you go through the scriptures talking about the new moons, we see that as a continual context. We see the sacrifices on the new moons, The new moons were done with a temple. The new moons were done with the priesthood. And this is something we're going to see more as we go through. I just wanted to set the stage there for that. So the context is sacrifices and worship at the temple. Let's turn over to another scripture in Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. This is talking about the new moons, and we'll go through and look at some of these Old Testament scriptures talking about the new moons. The setting of this is the children of Israel have been in captivity, and now they're allowed to come back to their homeland, and they're excited. Here they are. They're going to be building the temple. They're going to be renewing their worship to God. Let's pick it up in chapter 3, verse 5. And afterward they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for the new moons, and for the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. Now we can just imagine all these captives finally free, coming back to their land. Verse 6, from the first day of the seventh month, from the Feast of Trumpets, there they were, they began. They began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not yet been laid. So we see the temple tied right in here. They've come back. And the chapter goes on through to talk about the building of the temple and the offering of the sacrifices, the offering of the offerings. Let's drop down to verse 10, talking about the temple here. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. So we see the temple being built. We see the sacrifices. We see the worship there. The biblical instructions regarding the new moons refers to offerings and ceremonies. Some people say that, well, we shouldn't be working on the new moons. This is something that we should observe and not be working on the monthly new moons. Some say that it should be a holy convocation. Some say that it shouldn't. There's different ideas. Some say that it should be a holy day. When we look back through Leviticus to the feasts of the Lord, and we go through all of the feasts, and we won't take time to do that, certainly we see the Sabbath listed there. The Passover, we see the Feast of Trumpets and all the other feast days, but we don't see listed as the Feast of the Lord the new moons. Well, some might say, well, what about the verse in Amos 8 and verse 5? Well, let's go over there and look at that. Are the new moons to be a Sabbath or a holy day? Except for today, of course. Amos 8. Let's read it. Amos 8 and verse 5, saying, when the new moon will be passed, that we, asking the question, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade our wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the balances by deceit. So what is this talking about? Is the new moon to be a commanded non-work day? Well, during the time of Amos, there were obviously limitations on merchandising, as we see here. But even though we see no scriptural instructions, even that, we don't see any scriptural instructions here concerning not working. So what is all this about? What we do see is we do see instructions about ancient customs from the Talmud. And this is a written compendium of Judaism's oral law. And I'd like to quote, here's a quote based on the Talmud found in the Encyclopedia Judaica. Work was permitted on the new moon, although it was customary for women to abstain from it. They were allowed to observe this semi-festival as a reward for not having surrendered their jewelry for the creation of the golden calf. It later became customary for them to refrain from difficult labor, such as weaving, but do light work, such as sewing. When we read this quote and this passage in the book of Amos, we realize that this is a matter of oral law or tradition, but it's not a part of the written law. Nowhere do we see that work was supposed to cease on the new moon. As a matter of fact, there are other scriptures throughout the New Testament that command that work is to be done on the new moon. Let's turn over to another scripture in 2 Kings. This is used by some to state that they feel that the new moon is a Sabbath day or a holy day. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verse 22. And this was read a few weeks ago by our pastor in a sermon talking about worshiping the celestial bodies. Let's start in on verse 22. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." So the question comes up, is this some sort of a church service that she would be going to see the priest on or the man of God on? And what we realize when we back up and think about, and that is the observance of the new moon back in the time of the children of Israel, we see them tied back into worship at the temple. We see them tied to the offerings and the priesthood. So we know that the priest was available. And if you needed to see the priest or discuss something with him, we know that the priest would be available. And so did everyone else. And that's simply all this is saying. When we look at how the new moons were observed, we see no explicit instructions in the Bible for observance of them except for special sacrifices and blowing of the trumpet. And we saw that earlier today. We see no evidence that Christ or his apostles did anything special on the new moons, or that they ever participated in any celebration of the new moons. We mentioned different categories of days that are mentioned. We mentioned Sabbaths, new moons. We mentioned solemn feasts. We see that the new moons were never listed as a Sabbath or a holy day, and that they were involved in sacrifices and the offerings and worship at the temple. We might ask, well, what about new moons in the future? Will new moons be observed in the future? And when we think about and read about the restitution of all things, we see a restoring of the sacrifices, the priesthood, worship at the temple, and the physical marking of time of God's calendar with the new moon observances. Prophecy indicates that during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, a new temple will be built in Jerusalem, and the nations will come to worship God on the Sabbaths and the new moons. Let's turn over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. And we'll see this talked about. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 20. And this is talking about that time in the future. "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and mules, on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, said the Lord." Verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. So we see the reinstitution of the Levitical priesthood, and we see the establishing of a temple in Jerusalem, and the reviving of the sacrificial system. Along with reviving the sacrificial system and the marking of months will once again be established with the new moons and the blowing of the trumpets again. Even as we see that these days and sacrifices will once again be observed in the future, there is no indication that these special days or sacrifices are commanded of Christians today. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81, and talking about the new moons. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, and on our solemn feast day. When we look at this verse here and study this, we realize that this psalm, it's often read by the Jews at the Feast of Trumpets today. And it's associated with the Feast of Trumpets. And when we look at it and study it, let's take a look and see what it seems to be telling us here. It tells us to blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon and at the full moon on our solemn feast day. And if we ask ourselves, when can that be, when we have a new moon and then a full moon, our solemn feast day? This is announcing the fall feast days coming up. Blowing the trumpet on the new moon is the Feast of Trumpets, and the full moon is going to be the Feast of Tabernacles, our solemn feast day. So that's what this is talking about. Well, we've turned to several scriptures in the Old Testament. Let's turn to one in the New Testament that is commonly used to prove that we should be keeping the new moons today. Over in the book of Colossians, we'd like to take a little bit of time on this verse, because this verse is used to prove a lot of different ideas. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 16. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath. So there it is. People use this verse to prove that it's okay to eat unclean food. People use this verse to prove that we don't need to keep the Sabbath anymore. And people use this verse to prove that we should be observing the monthly new moons. But really, what does this verse say? When we look at the context of what's going on here, we realize that the background to this passage is an ascetic group, and that's a group with different beliefs, and back then it was a fairly large group. They thought that Christians were having too much enjoyment in their eating and their drinking on these special days. And that's the context of what's going on here. Proper translating shows that the Colossians are being instructed by Paul not to allow others to judge them from concerning eating and drinking on the festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths, not the observance of the days themselves. This was a time when the temple still stood, the temple was still here, offerings were still given, and there still was a priesthood. So there was an observance at this time of the new moons. They were still going on. The moons were still being announced by a trumpet every new moon. So that's what was going on. But the context of what he's talking about here is that they were saying that you were having too much fun. Now, before church today, I'll have to tell one someone. He came up to me, and I was talking to someone, and we were laughing and talking, and he said, "Hey, you're having too much fun. This is the Sabbath, remember?" Well, he was joking, but they weren't. They were taking they were bringing the Christians in judgment over having too much fun. The ascetics were addressing the manner of observing these days, not the fact that they were observing them. Here we have Paul's instructions to not let the heretics impose ascetic practices on them. Well, what does this word ascetics mean? Well, Wikipedia tells us that it describes a lifestyle characterized by abstinence from various sorts of worldly pleasures. The founders and earliest practitioners lived extremely austere lifestyles. It goes on to say that they were refrained from any sensual pleasure whatsoever and the accumulation of material wealth. So any form of enjoyment by the senses was wrong or would take away from the spiritual thought or would be a spiritual distraction. And that could be eating, drinking, having a good time, having fun, denying any earthly pleasures, enjoying the feast days, having lunch, enjoying the Sabbath days, enjoying the fellowship with each other. This was a fairly large group that had a big influence and was trying to influence the Christians. And there were even some extreme ascetics, to the point that in their so-called humility, they would try and make sure that they had absolutely no pleasure and even almost a competing attitude. There was even a group that would find themselves sitting naked in this hot sun, fasting, in total silence, just to make sure that they would have no enjoyment. There were others that would stand on one foot for long periods of time, just to make sure that they had no pleasures. Now, as a youngster growing up, I had to stand in the corner a lot. I always thought there was something there about that, but maybe that was a different situation. Let's go ahead on this chapter and drop down when we look at the context here in the book of Colossians 2. With this background in mind, let's read verse 20. Colossians 2 and verse 20. Paul is telling them to not let them judge them. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch. Do not taste, do not handle, for all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men, these ascetics. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the faith. A false humility here. And that's what they were dealing with. It was not a matter that Paul was telling them it's okay to eat clean or unclean. It's okay to eat unclean foods. It's not a matter of that Paul was telling them you don't need to keep the Sabbath anymore. That's not what he was talking about. This was Paul warning them against falling into this idea that any pleasure is wrong. An article that the church puts out titled "Should Christians Observe the New Moons?" puts it this way. It's important to point out that as long as the temple stood in Jerusalem, there would be Jewish Christians who recognized the new moons as well as performed sacrifices, vows, and other rituals. We even have an example of the Apostle Paul giving a special offering at the temple on one of his trips to Jerusalem. And certainly that was long after this time. And that's in Acts 21. It goes on to say that after the destruction of the temple, practices related to the Levitical priesthood disappeared from the Christian community. On the other hand, the Sabbath and the annual festivals have universal application to be observed according to the commandment. So we see the new moons observed as a marking of time in Israel's history. And as long as the temple stood, there would be Jewish Christians who recognized the new moons, as well as performed sacrifices and based time calculated by and noted by the new moons. We realize that nowhere are commands for us to observe the new moons. It's certainly different than the feast days and the Sabbaths. We've clearly seen that. So we might ask ourselves the question, is there anything wrong with getting out a silver trumpet or a silver horn and blowing it on every new moon every month? Or having a meal together, is there anything wrong with that? Well, certainly not. The answer is no. As long as someone doesn't try to convince someone else that it's mandatory or that it's required. And I'll just quote Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So today we find ourselves here observing one of God's feast days and looking towards the future. While we're eager to observe all things that God has commanded, we don't have a biblical command to observe new moons. We realize that no man could declare a day holy that's not holy, and no one could declare a day unholy that's not unholy. There is no command for worship or assembly on the new moons. God's given us the holy days, such as today, and the Sabbaths for assembly and worship. We see that the new moons are tied to sacrifices, the priesthood, and the temple. We have seen that the new moons were observed to mark time throughout history when the temple was here and the sacrifices were done. While it's all important to observe all the days that God commands, it's also important not to make something holy that's not. Even though these days, the new moons, are not required to be observed, we can look forward to a time when these days will be kept once again. And what a beautiful time that will be. A time when the sacrifices will return. A time when Satan's rule will be no more. It will be God's rule. A time when it'll be God's world, and we will be His people. What a time that we have to look forward to. When we hear someone with the idea that we should be observing the new moons, we can now have a better understanding. So as we dismiss today for lunch, let's eat, let's enjoy, let's drink, let's feast, let's fellowship with each other, let's have fun, and let's also realize that we as Christians have no need to observe the monthly new moons.